1 year ago on this date, we had a party. For those of you who were not there to join us, today is Martha and my first year anniversary, and it's a great celebration as we remember what God has done for us, and we give glory to God, and we give thanks to you for being a part of our journey together. As we look back on this year, there's much to be thankful for, much to give glory to God for, because He is faithful. Even in the midst of difficult times, God has proved His faithfulness, and we shared together in those stories last week. So the question I have for us today as we look down the road into 2015 is this: What are your desires? What is your deepest longing as you look into 2015? What are the longings of your heart as you look into this coming year? Perhaps it's easiest if we think about it in different compartments. So we might think about our family relationships, for example. What is your deepest longing as you think about the relationships within your family? Perhaps there's a son or daughter who longs for a better relationship with a parent. Maybe there's a parent who longs for a deeper, more open relationship with a child. Perhaps between siblings. Many of us live very far away from family members. And so I ask the question, what is your deepest longing in this year as you think about your families who live very far away from where you live? We might think of another area of our lives. We might think of work or school or career. What are your deepest longings as you look into 2015? What are your desires as you think about your life work in this coming year? Some of you know that this is going to be a year of major transition for you. Some of you have been studying here for 5 years, and you're completing school this year, and you're going to be going back perhaps to your home country. I wonder what are your longings as you think about that transition. Some of you have been working here for many years and have made plans now in this year to move to another place. What is it that is in your heart for this coming year? Many of us really don't have big plans for transition in this coming year, but we know, because life is what it is, that there could be transition. We could be surprised by something that leads us to transition in this year. What are your thoughts? What are your deepest longings as you look into this coming year? What about relationships with friends and people around you in your neighborhood, in your work, in your school? What are your longings about those kinds of relationships? And the question is really, as we look into this year, we can't see what will happen. And so there are many uncertainties. And we know that no matter how good our longings and our desires might be, it can be that circumstances come and change life. We have walked alongside a number of families in our community in this year who have been surprised by crises, surprised by perhaps illness in the life of a family member. There are other crises that can come along relating to work and ability to live in this place. And so there's many uncertainties. And so as we look down the road of 2015, we know life well enough to know that there will be things that surprise us. And we also know that if we're all left up to us, that we would be in trouble. If it were all left up to us to figure out life, we would look down the road of this year and perhaps already be full of anxiety and be full of worry, be full of of worry because of what might happen. The scriptures call us, as we look down the road of 2015, the scriptures call us to live a life of faith. It's my desire this morning, it's my task this morning to invite you as we engage a series of studies at the beginning of this year, that it is my deepest desire that this series of studies will cause our hearts to be drawn towards God in our daily lives. We're calling this study Making Space for God in Our Daily Lives. And essentially, what we want to do is to in the coming weeks to look through Scripture together and to wrestle with what does it mean for us to make space in our daily lives for God. We sometimes call these spiritual disciplines. These are habits. These are practices that we intentionally put into our lives in order to help us to orient our lives towards God. It is my experience, and I'm sure that it's the experience of many of you, that life can become hectic at times. And the worries of life can flow over us and take over our full attention. And in those times of surprising events, in those times of crisis especially, it seems like we get consumed with what's going on in the present. And it's my conviction as we begin this new series of studies that what we need in our lives as we look forward towards this coming year is what we want to focus on is what are the habits, what are the practices that we can put into our lives that will keep our focus on God. Keep us being attentive to His voice in our lives every day. This one writer said this, and I'll come back to this phrase a little bit later, but the one writer says this about these things that we call spiritual disciplines. The disciplines are intentional ways in which we open up space in our lives for the worship of God. It is so easy for us to get caught up in things, get caught up in the busyness of doing many good things, and forget to take time to worship God. And so it's my desire that we will be drawn to worship, not just when we come together on Sundays, but in this year of 2015, that we will get in the practice of worship daily in our lives of this God who loves us. In order to get to the heart of this series, I wish to call your attention this morning to two scriptures. These two scriptures contain exactly the same phrase. I'd invite you to turn, first of all, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, I'm going to start reading at verse 28. This first passage of Scripture is an invitation from Jesus. Arguably, it is perhaps one of the most beautiful invitations in all of Scripture, one of the most comforting invitations from Jesus. And as we spend time soaking in this invitation from Jesus this morning, I wish to draw attention to the fact that it's an invitation that demands a response. It's an invitation which we will respond to in one way or another. We will either reject it and say, no, this is not for me, or we will receive this invitation from Jesus. It's a beautiful invitation. Let me invite us to say these words together. Matthew 11, 28-30 says this: "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amazing words. Let's think for a moment about the context of these words. If you have your Bible open to Matthew chapter 11, we can see if we look further up in the chapter, Jesus has some very hard words for some of the cities in which he has been preaching. In fact, they're words of judgment, very, very hard words for these cities. In verse 20, Matthew writes, Jesus began to denounce the towns in which he performed most of his miracles because they did not repent. So he says, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles that had been performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. So here's the story. Jesus has been preaching in this region. And in this region in particular, he's been doing many miracles. And last few weeks ago, when we were looking at the Gospel of John, we saw that what Jesus was doing as he was performing these miracles is he was revealing the glory of God through these miracles to the people. But these towns, Jesus says, these people, they had this incredible privilege. As we look at it from our perspective, of course, we can see it. They had the privilege of the creator of the whole universe in their midst. And the creator of the whole universe was doing these miracles in order to reveal the glory of God. And yet, these people made a choice to reject him. They said, we don't want you. And so they rejected him. And it's in this context, as Matthew is writing this, that Jesus is now spending time with his friends, his followers. And as we come down to verse 28, I have the picture that Jesus is turning to his friends and he's saying, those people made a choice not to receive me. Now, listen to this invitation that I am giving you. It's the choice that you can make. So let's observe some of the details of this invitation. What's the first word? First word is come. This is Jesus, who is the creator of everything that exists. He's saying to his friends, and he's saying to you, and he's saying to me, he's saying, come. Come to me. No one is forcing you to believe in Jesus. But Jesus is inviting you to come, look at me, he says. I came for you. You must respond to this invitation. Jesus says, come. And so we step towards Jesus. In particular, Jesus is inviting those who are weary and burdened. These are perhaps, we could imagine, people who are fed up with trying to live life on their own, people who perhaps are feeling overwhelmed with the complexities and the complications of life. People who have tried to get to God by religious practices, but have failed. People who are full of guilt because of the sin that's in their own lives, sin that they just can't seem to get rid of. And Jesus says, come, all of you who are weary, all of you who are burdened down. And what we notice in this invitation is that there's a twofold invitation to rest. And I believe it's designed in a way to that the second phrase really brings strength to the first. And so Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And then there's a second invitation. Take my yoke on you and learn from me, because I am gentle. I'm humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You will find rest for your souls. This is an amazing term when we stop and think about it. Rest for your soul. What does it look like in your mind, this idea of rest for your soul? I want to suggest to you, rest for your soul does not necessarily mean an absence of activity. It doesn't necessarily mean an absence of work. It doesn't even necessarily mean an absence of difficulty. But what it seems to me, this idea of rest for your soul means it's the absence of some things. What kinds of things? Things like worry, like what Jesus said in Matthew 6 that we read earlier. Things like anxiety. Jesus invites us to experience rest for our souls. It's a sense of confidence, I believe, a sense of confidence that no matter what 2015 might throw my way, that I can rest in the confidence that I am in Him. And how do we receive this rest for our souls? Jesus is very specific about it. He says, we receive this rest by taking His yoke on us. It's an amazing picture. Take my yoke on you and learn from me. Here's a picture of a yoke. Here's another picture of a yoke. So what is it about being in a yoke? What is it about being yoked together? It seems to me this is the idea that Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, come and be yoked with me. What does it mean for us to be yoked with Jesus? I believe that Jesus is calling us in this picture to total surrender to Him. He's calling us to repentance. He's calling us to lay down our lives in His. He's calling us to say, you are my Lord. You are my Master. He's calling us to put ourselves in that place with Him. He's calling us to give up our selfish passions and desires and to learn from Him in 2015. In other places, Jesus speaks very strongly about what it means to take up our cross and follow Him. To love Him more than we love our families even. And so, the picture is one of total surrender. We come, we willingly put ourselves in the yoke. But what's He like, this Jesus? It's amazing how Jesus describes Himself here. I am gentle and I'm humble in heart. And so this is an invitation to come to this one who is gentle with us. This yoke is easy. This burden is light, He says. This is how you were created to live. This is not some kind of prison. This is freedom because this is how you were created to live. In this yoke with Jesus. It's a beautiful picture of Jesus coming into this world and us being able to see Him as one of us, to read about His life, to hear His teaching, and to learn from Him every day in our lives. We must notice here once again that this is an invitation. The invitation is for us to take this yoke. Jesus says, take my yoke on you. So this isn't something that He's forcing on us. Nobody is forcing us into this yoke. This is a choice that Jesus gives us. This is an invitation that He gives us to choose to be in this yoke with Him. I'd like to observe something from this picture. It seems to me, if I think about the reality of life with Jesus, as I look back on my life, as I've walked with Jesus now for many years, somehow it seems to me that life is not exactly as it is in the picture here, but that somehow perhaps one side of that yoke comes up and somehow I can walk away if I want to. And there's times in my life when I know that I've wandered away from Him, and I've wandered away, I've been drawn away either by temptation to sin, or I've been drawn away by some selfish desire to not follow Jesus. So the question is, how do we maintain this sense of walking beside Jesus, of taking this yoke upon us? I don't believe we need to see it as just a one-time event. Certainly it is a one-time event when we choose to follow Jesus. But I believe it's an ongoing, daily choice that we have to live life in this way with Jesus. And so it's my prayer that as we look through scriptures and we search for some of the healthy practices that we can put in our lives, that those practices will help us to make daily choices to stay in this kind of way. Walking, working alongside of Jesus day by day, step by step. Learning from Him. In yoke with Him, surrendering to Him every day. Let me take you to the second scripture. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 6. In Jeremiah chapter 6, rather surprisingly, we find this very same phrase, "You will find rest for your souls." Just while you're finding it, let me point out a remarkable similarity between Matthew 11 and Jeremiah chapter 6. In Matthew 11, we notice what was Jesus doing. Jesus was pronouncing judgment against these cities. Why? Because they had rejected Him. The message had come clearly to them. The miracles were there. The Creator of the universe was there, and yet they rejected Him. And so Jesus is pronouncing judgment on them. As we come to Jeremiah chapter 6, God is pronouncing judgment on Jerusalem. Why? Because the city of Jerusalem has rejected their Messiah, has rejected their God, has turned away from God. So many prophets have been sent to Israel. So many prophets have been sent to Jerusalem to call their attention back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And yet, Jerusalem is turning away from God. And so Jeremiah 6 is similarly a pronouncement of judgment against the city of Jerusalem. And so we come to Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. And these are the words that Jeremiah writes. Let's read them together. These are the words of the Lord, but let's read them as they're written there. "This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, 'We will not walk in it.'" Amazing similarity. Another invitation, an invitation to the people of Israel to pay attention to the God who is their Creator, to the God who redeemed them out of Egypt, to the God who brought them to Mount Sinai and gave them the law, to the God who was with them through the years of wandering in the desert, to the God who brought them into the land of promise. It's an urgent invitation to pay attention to Him. And yet, sadly, as we look at the way history unfolds, we realize, as this verse tells us, their response was, "We will not walk in that way." But it's very interesting to notice the invitation. Stand at the crossroads. Ask for the ancient path. Look, ask where the good way is and walk in it. What are those ancient paths? What is the good way that God is talking about? We think back to the time at Mount Sinai as God revealed Himself to His people. He gave them what we call the Ten Commandments. What did He say to them there? What was the first thing He said to them? "Don't worship any other gods, but only worship Me." As Moses is retelling the law in Deuteronomy chapter 6, how does he summarize the law? It's love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. And love each other. Love your neighbor as yourselves. These are the ancient paths that God was calling His people to. But they got distracted by other gods. Our exploration in these coming weeks will lead us to consider some ancient practices. There are some disciplines that we can read even as we look through the scriptures, practices that people in the scripture put into their lives in order to be worshiping God, in order to be attentive to God. There are other practices that have been put into effect down through the centuries as the church has grown and spread throughout the whole earth. And some of those practices can also be useful for us as we ask the question in this coming year, what habits will I build into my life so that I'm sure to maintain my attentiveness to God? So that I'm not distracted by other gods. So I'm not distracted by the worries of life. So I'm not distracted by the pleasures of life. The challenge I wish to leave with us from these two verses in Matthew 11 and Jeremiah 6 is a challenge of choice. As we begin this year of 2015, we have choices that we can make. We can establish priorities in our life. Jesus' invitation is unmistakable. Jesus says to you in 2015, come. Come to me. If you're weary, you're burdened, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you. Surrender your life completely to me. I am big enough to handle whatever circumstances might come your way. Take my yoke on you and learn from me, because not only am I big enough to handle all those things, I am gentle. I'm humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. What's your choice? As you look into this coming year, will you choose to come? Will you choose to surrender? Will you choose to lay down every part of your life in His control? You will find rest for your souls. As we embark on this study of some of the spiritual disciplines, some of the practices that we can put into our lives, I would like to just put some resources on the screen. If you have some interest to read further into some of these ideas, here are some of the writers that I have found to be helpful in writing and in about these kinds of ideas. Dallas Willard, his book, Spirit of the Disciplines, Renovation of the Heart. He also wrote a book called The Divine Conspiracy. Anything by Dallas Willard is good in this area. Richard Foster has written a book which is very well known now called Celebration of Discipline. More recently, a man by the name of James K.A. Smith wrote a book called Desiring the Kingdom. I found that to be a challenging book as I've read it. I'd recommend that to you as well. The final book by Adele Calhoun, Spiritual Disciplines Handbook, gives us an idea for a structure for these series of lessons that we will have. It is, in fact, Adele Calhoun who says, disciplines are intentional ways in which we open up space in our lives for the worship of God. And so our series is going to be rooted in the idea and also the word worship. Let me give a very brief outline of the coming weeks. Each week there's seven letters in the word worship. There's 7 weeks coming up. Each week we'll be taking one of the letters as an acrostic of the word worship. And if you go to the next one, so next week will be W, and we will talk about the idea of worship, looking especially at the first couple of verses of Romans chapter 12. Worship is what do we worship? We worship what we value the most in life. And so it's a powerful call from Scripture to value the right stuff in life, to value God more than anything. So some of the practices there include celebration and gratitude. Even in communion, as we do that this morning, is an opportunity in a very physical way to worship and remember God. The celebration of Sabbath is another practice there. On the next week will be about openness to God, practices that let God's light shine into our lives. And so we talk about the idea of contemplation. We talk about a discipline called examine, journaling, and rest and retreat. Ideas like that. The R stands for relinquishment, letting go in a world dedicated to accumulation. How important it is for us to pay attention to our lives and to practice confession, to detach ourselves from some of the things of life. Includes also practices like retreating, getting away, spending time alone with God. The S stands for sharing your life with others, promoting interdependence and community in the body of Christ. And so we'll look for ideas like accountability and chastity, living in community, what does that look like? Discipling one another, hospitality, serving one another. The H stands for hearing God in our lives, practices that form the mind of Christ in us. And so we look at ways in which we pay attention to Scripture through Bible study, through devotional reading, through meditation, through memorization. The I stands for incarnating Jesus. And so these are practices that lead us to be Jesus in the world around us. And so we think about the commands of Scripture to be compassionate, to be humble. The Scriptures that call us to control our tongues, justice, care of creation, this beautiful gift that God has given to us. And then P stands for prayer and praying. And so we look at various practices that lead us to pray without ceasing, various practices of prayer. As we, in all of these different practices, what we look for is ways to be attentive to God in our day-to-day lives throughout 2015. This phrase, I think, is on the screen once more. Disciplines are intentional ways in which we open space in our lives for the worship of God. The invitation for Jesus is come to me. As we come to Him, we come in worship. I'm both challenged and excited as I anticipate this study. It is my strong desire that each of us in 2015 would find this place that Jesus invites us to, this place of rest for our souls. It may be a tumultuous year, a year full of turmoil, and yet I believe what Jesus is saying is even in the midst of turmoil, we may find this rest for our souls. It is my desire that we would help each other learn to develop these habits and these rhythms of life that keep us close to Jesus, learning from Him, learning how to rest in His care. There are many, many practices we will talk about. None of us will practice all of them. But what I would ask you to do is to prayerfully ask Jesus, what are the things that I need to put in my life in order to come to You, in order to come to You every day? This is my prayer.